And welcome to the Miami Tech Update, May 17th, 2018. A lot of things going on in tech. And we got Michael Freeburg on the line. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Everything's good. How's it going?
Good, man. So, you know, I've been getting these emails these past couple of weeks, actually, about this European GDPR tools and GDPR law that came out in the EU where you're not able to collect information. Now, you're pretty much also getting those emails as well. What are your thoughts?
It's a very serious thing. If your website doesn't give the proper disclaimers, the European Union can sue you, and the fine can be up to 20 million euros.
Yeah, that is something that you got to consider. You know, like this all started with Facebook and Google a couple years ago. And, you know, people just collecting data. And but I guess for each, if you collect information, you have to let the user know beforehand, like, hey, by the way, we're going to collect this, you know, from you.
Yeah, so if you collect cookies or you collect emails, or for example, anything, you have to let that person know that, hey, I'm collecting this and I'm going to sell it to other countries or whatever. And if you fail to do that, European Union has a responsibility to protect all European citizens. So they can actually, wherever you are, go to that country's court and sue you, your business, for 2% of what you make or 20 million euros. So what a lot of these websites are doing, they're saying they're GDPR compliant. All they're doing is they're in the bottom of the, you know, the footer somewhere, they're just displaying, hey, this website does this, this, and that. And this is exactly what it does.
Yeah, the
That way it protects them from...
Go ahead.
It protects them from litigation or mitigation. I forget which word it is.
What's
it protects them from a lawsuit.
What difference does it make, right?
Yeah, exactly. Anything with Asian at the end, it sounds illegal. It's scary.
GDPR means General Data Protection Regulation. Is a regulation in the EU. It's an EU law on data protection and privacy, all for individuals within the European Union. It also addresses the export of personal data outside the EU. The GDPR aims primarily to give control to citizens and residents over their personal data and to simplify the regulatory environment for international businesses by unifying the regulation within the EU. I use MailChimp, and they've been really bugging me on this.
I don't see how many people can harm just collecting their data. You know, but I didn't read through the whole thing. I just, you know, watch people's summaries, attorney summaries and stuff, where they just say, hey, if you sell even an email to somebody and you didn't tell that person, you're able to get sued by them. So, emailing somebody, we got to double check it. The fine is serious. Who knows? Like, I never heard of another country suing a person or a business before. I don't know how that's really going to play out. I don't know if the United States is going to honor that. All I know is Facebook right away made a big deal about it on purpose because they don't want to get, you know, blocked from Europe. They're a big business too, you know. So
yeah.
This has been going on for 4 years now. Like, they've been working on this for 4 years. It's not just because of what happened in Europe, what happened here with the U.S. elections, and what's happening. It's not because of what happened in the U.S. elections. It's what's happened in the past, because Russia meddles around with people's elections. They mess around with Ukraine's elections and stuff like that. And if you go through the past, Europe has always had a problem with the Soviet Union and the war, before there was the Warsaw Pact, and that's why NATO was created, and this is, I believe, a part of that, you know, era. This is a direct action from that mentality and it's happening right now because they don't want their elections to get meddled around with. Because think about it, you got all this information about people, you know what they like, what they think, you can manipulate them and you can manipulate their vote. Most of the European Union is a democracy, so democracies can, you can put any person into a democracy as long as people agree with that person's views. And if you take all of this data, like Cambridge Analytica does, that's how you, you know, corrupt people's interests. So I think this is to protect a democracy more than anything else.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of changes. I know Google is definitely making those changes, and Facebook. I think, like, the big guys. I don't think Apple has to worry about this.
Only for mainly web applications. I mean, Apple, they sell phones.
They're a hardware
Apple's
company.
Apple's not going to be responsible. Yeah, they're a hardware company. They're not, I mean, unless they have a, you know, on their website, you know, they're going to collect information. I don't think they sell that data, but a lot of people, you know, what they do is, you see, opt in on this email list or whatever, newsletter, right? So this would be a perfect example of a violation of the European Union. You opt into that newsletter about apples, for example, or oranges or fruits or whatever. And then that website then sells the ability to email blast to those people without getting spammed and sent to the spam folder to another company that sells Viagra, for example. That would be, in my opinion, a violation of what the European Union has put together. Because you're not informing that person in Europe that, hey, I'm going to sell this whole email list, including your email, to something completely different. All your information is going to go to some other person. That's what they don't want. Because that other person could be Russia or China or whoever to do harm to, you know, the European Union or to that citizen or scam them. Who knows?
Speaking about data and all that, I've been discussing this for the past week. This week, do you receive, how many spam calls do you receive every day?
Oh man, today 20 at minimum. Well, it's not really spam. I just get them a lot. I have a T-Mobile, and they have this like service where they think it's a scam, they'll put scam likely as the caller ID.
Yeah.
So it kind of protects me. And I get a lot of those, man. Every day.
Yeah, and
but there's a CAN spam act which is supposed to protect you from that, but I don't know if they enforce it.
Have you seen those phone numbers where it's almost the exact phone number as yours, like the first five digits?
Yeah, I know exactly. Like the first six digits.
Yeah.
Are exactly the same, because usually, like, when you get a phone plan where your family or whatever, you guys usually get the first six numbers the same. So you may think, oh, I want my brother or my sister or my aunt's calling me or whatever, but it's really a collection agency or a spammer.
Yeah, and
it's marketing, man.
It's marketing, whatever it takes.
It works.
Yeah, and I actually...
That's why people are using.
Yeah, and I usually get like the drug and alcohol rehab like centers, and I'm like, I hardly drink. I never drink. I don't do drugs, so I don't know how I got up then.
Yeah. Somebody must have sold your information and got linked to it. Who knows? It's so weird, man. You could be talking, like, we could be talking about this, and then when I go home, I go on my computer, something that we spoke about pops up on my, you know, ads on YouTube or whatever, because they're like listening to us and they're selling our data to advertisers. You know what I'm saying?
Have you heard those?
We're not protected by the EU. We're Americans, you know. So
yeah, have you heard those stories where I have a few people that they're asking about this, that they had a conversation like in person, offline, as offline as you can get. And then a couple of hours later, they see an ad related to that conversation, but it's kind of like,
yeah, my uncle made a Facebook post about it. He said he was talking about like Waffle House or something in his car. He said I never use my computer at home. I never search anything, but when I went home, I saw Waffle House advertisements. So I was talking about Waffle House, you know, with his wife, and Oh, yeah, for sure they're listening to it. In fact, they actually admitted to it in this whole Cambridge Analytica, you know, leak or whatever, whatever that was. They admitted that Facebook was recording people's conversations. If you have the app running in the background on your phone, it permits that. Because the thing is, everybody, you guys don't read the terms and conditions. And I'm not saying it's time to sit there and read who knows how many pages of terms and conditions. But the fact is, you are agreeing to that, and most of the time it's legally binding. Okay? I mean, unless it's selling your soul or something ridiculous, it's legally binding in court. So you agree to this. It may seem wrong, but you clicked, I agree to these terms and conditions, and those companies can do whatever the heck they want, except now with the European Union. Because they decided to, hey, time to put the brakes on this. You guys can't do this no more unless you clearly display. So really, they are just helping the transparency be out there. Clicking a checkbox isn't transparent enough for the European Union. They want nice, big, bold letters. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't want your data being exposed, make sure you go to the terms and conditions and read it. In fact, this will be a great app idea, Santiago. It's a website that just crawls terms and conditions and tries to figure out what kind of data they collect, right?
Yeah, so that would be a good idea.
Run AI through it, run Watson or something, run TensorFlow, see if there's a TensorFlow library out there that can interpret, you know, written language. And then you make it like, you know how the Apple Store, every time you download an app, it gives you a nice, pretty display of, like, what this app does or what it collects?
Yeah.
We could do it like that. So you scroll the whole website, all the web, and then you would be the Google of terms and conditions. You just Google a website on this, not Google, but you would search this website on your, you know, your database website, and it will tell you exactly what kind of information that this website takes from you based on the terms and conditions and the privacy policy, everything, the price of the services, what they take from you, everything. Like, that would be amazing app idea, to be honest with you.
Let's do it. No, well, you're we're busy. We're both busy. Can you tell us a little bit a update about your app so far?
All right. So my app it's almost done. It's 95% done. I'm just combing through it right now, dotting my I's, crossing my T's, making sure that I am GDPR compliant. I do not want to get a fine from the European Union. There's just a few bugs I got to work out with the APIs I'm using, and I'm going to relaunch, because I launched in the past and I took it down because I had so many problems with it. But I'm relaunching, and it's going to be available for everybody to use. By the way, my app is an SEO a tool for SEO pros and people who want to do their own SEO. You're going to be able to track your own keywords. You're going to be able to monitor your backlinks. And you're also going to be able to track your users' interaction with your website. So that's a good thing to help you improve on your conversion rates.
Yeah.
Especially if you're using pay-per-click or Facebook ads, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, me and Mike have been talking for the past couple of weeks that a lot of people, more than you think, probably a lot of people, you know, want their website SEO approved, and that's why Mike's here to help. Mike is using the tool, which we'll probably have a podcast later on once it's released. But you know, people want more SEO tools. You know, something more easier, user friendly. And I really think Mike is going to come out with something big
and affordable.
And affordable. You know, you want the average Joe, the plumber.
Yeah, exactly. Most of these SEO tools, the minimum price is $99 a month.
Wow.
And they don't allow you to even try it for free until you pay. Or if they do let you try it, they give you like one or two tries, like search bars or whatever, and that's how you get blocked for the whole day. So I'm really being transparent and open to allowing people to use my product for free. I am.
Mike, are you still there? Mike, are you still there? Mike disappeared for a sec. Mike Freeberg is a web developer. He specializes in PHP and other languages, but mainly PHP. And let's get him back on. Mike, are you still there?
Yeah, sorry, I don't know why my phone went on hold. I think I pressed a button in my car. What's the last thing you heard?
That the app is going to be free at first, and then I think you're going to say there's going to be a premium model?
Yeah, freemium. I was talking about freemium. So freemium is something I'm looking towards. I am looking at three. Pretty sure I'm going to do freemium. I want the app to get out there. You know, I'm not greedy. I'm not money hungry. Like, I don't want to just, you know, pull everybody's credit card and just charge them. I actually want them to like the app and pay for it if they like it, you know? So
that is the best business model, Mike. The best business model. I think, especially with the internet, I think you have to have something free to test out. I think it's different from buying a tangible product. You can't take a tangible product and test it out. You got to buy it. But with the internet, you got to have a free trial. And we were talking about this, like, Netflix gives 3-month trial? Can you believe that?
They get your credit card up front. So what they do is they get your credit card up front. They tell you get 3 months for free. And then 3 years later, you look at your credit card statements and you've been billed for 3 years on Netflix and you never used it. So that's their strategy.
You know... Okay, I had this weird event invite today, and it was going to be in Miami. They said the event was free, but you had to turn in a $50 deposit. And if you go, we'll give it back to you. What do you think about that?
You know, sounds sketchy.
Yeah, right?
They're trying to make money. They're trying to make money. They're trying to get people to come. They're trying to make money, but they're trying to not scare you when they make money in it.
I got a feeling.
On the brighter side, cause
I had a feeling that they're probably gonna upsell you somewhere. Oh, like, okay, keep the $50, and you'll get this.
It's like those events, you know, like, you know, go see what's his name, Jordan Belfort. I'm not gonna talk smack about any of these people because you never know where you land in life, and you never want to be caught on camera talking smack about somebody else. But
true.
Let's just talk about the model. The people, they, you know, famous people or whatever, they tell you, oh, come on in, you know, meet me for free. I'll teach you how to become rich or whatever. Who knows what they say. And then you go in and they're not there. And they try to sell you left and right to get access to their information, you know. Jordan Belfort never did that. I actually saw Jordan Belfort. I went to one of his seminars. Very good seminar. He actually gave a lot of great content there. I actually liked it a lot. In the middle, there was some other people there who was trying to sell some real estate, which he wasn't actually involved in because he was saying, like, he's on probation. I don't know if he's on probation or was on probation, but, you know, he has to pay back all of his money that, you know, from the whole scandal that went on, that, you know, the reason why he went to jail, he has to pay that back. So, he's actually paying it back with these seminars. It's actually pretty cool.
Wow.
But either way, the whole concept of the... Yeah, man. His story is amazing, man. I got to say, his story is really amazing.
Did you go to the Tony Robbins event that happened in Miami about 2 weeks ago?
Did I hear about it?
I hear about it, or did you go?
Oh, I didn't have a spare $5,000. A ticket to sit in a different room than him.
It was actually $49, but it's okay. What's the difference, right?
Oh, okay. I always hear Tony Robbins charges like 5 G's to be in the same building, but if you want to see him in person, I think you got to pay like 15 G's or something like that.
Which is totally worth it.
Which, you know, I wish someone would just pay me $1 to shake my hand, but I guess I'm not worth $1 yet. Maybe one day.
You gotta work harder.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, actually,
I'm proud of them. For them, you know?
Yeah, I had a couple buddies that went to it. It was an all-day affair. Gary Vee was there. He was there.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, like, which I think I would have gone for him, not Tony Robbins.
I would go for both. Both of them give valid, great information.
Very yeah. Great. And there was like one clip where Robbins had everyone jump, you know, just to loosen up. It was the most viral clip in South Florida. I saw it from like three different takes. It was so weird.
Tony Robbins really gets involved with the, you know, the mind body connection. Like I've sat there. And, you know, I'm a programmer. I listen to Tony Robbins. I listen to Gary Vee. I listen to Les Brown and all of those, you know, Eric Thompson and stuff. But Tony Robbins, he'll actually explain, like, this part of the brain does this, and you got to get up and jump and, you know, pump your heart, pump your blood, because, like, if you're there just stressing out, the best thing to defeat stress is exercise, and he knows that. He gets people worked up because he knows that they're going to feel better, you know. That's my opinion of why he does that.
I actually listened to Les Brown. I love that guy. Someone told me last year about him, and I listened I think he's famous for that one speech. I mean, I haven't listened to anything else. I couldn't find anything else, but I think he's known for that one talk he has.
Yeah. If you want something, then strive for it. Work day and night for it. Fight for it. Something in that matter. You know, like, lose sleep about it. Just pretty much, man, just brute force attack. Just get that shit done. That's...
No cursing, this PG. A lot of kids watch this, by the way. So.
Okay, got it. Just get it done, man. Like Gary Vee says, get it done. You know, stop thinking, stop watching, just do it.
Yeah, execution. And which is one thing I think Gary Vee's main message is execution. I have to nail it down to that.
Yeah.
Well, then hustle it is. I mean, there's a couple of things. I know hustle and execution are top two.
Yeah.
Just
do it. Just put it out there. You're gonna learn a lot. You're gonna fail. Like, failing is a part of success.
Winners are not afraid of failing. I've heard that quote. I heard that quote this past week, and I was like, "Wow, this is." Yeah. I love it. Speaking about last week, I'm not sure if you saw this, but Google had their I/O, their big convention or conference or like their big talk last week. And I'm not sure if you saw this. I didn't talk to you about this, but they had the Google Assistant update that's going to release this later this year. A Google Assistant is their version of Siri. And they did a demonstration of Google Assistant making reservations for a restaurant or for a hair salon. The voice, Google Assistant, did not sound like a robot. It sounded like a human being making pauses. Okay, 4 o'clock. Did you see it?
I saw it. Matter of fact, you're talking to Google Assistant right now this whole time. I'm just kidding that you're not, but it would sound, it would actually sound like me joking around. And, you know, this dates back to the computer science. The guy who found the computer science, I forget his name. I should be ashamed.
That's okay.
But he said it was about, this is the word. It's called, it's very, very important word.
Is his name is Alan Turing?
Yeah, it's about, hang on, it's the Enigma or something weird. I'll come back to it. I can't think. I had too many cups of coffee today.
long day at work, right?
It's on the top of my chest. Yeah. Let me look this up.
I do. Okay, I have a few quotes from him. Maybe I'll read them, and then maybe it might be that one. One of them is, "We can only see a short distance ahead, but we can see plenty there that needs to be done. I propose to consider the question, can machines think? A computer would deserve to be called intelligent if it could deceive a human into believing that it was human."
That's the one right there. Okay. What is that? That's the one right there.
I found it on Google. Google Assistant told me. So it goes with, a computer would deserve to be called intelligent if it could deceive a human into believing that it was human. Wow.
That's the one right there. That's the one.
That's
There's a word for that. It's called some special word. I forget. I'll come back to it.
Computer intelligence?
That's the whole point. Is that, It's actually it's a more of a psychology word. I forget. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'll think about it later. But that's the point. Is like we're at that point where he said that probably over 50 years ago, and we're actually at that point where you cannot even tell, because the person on the other line couldn't tell that that was a robot.
Yeah. So, no. It's true. Yeah. Like. I mean, okay. Now it can make reservations. Now it could do more stuff. I mean, I was thinking of this, and I don't want to, you know, really. Some people thought it was scary, but, you know, I mean, this could take care of a salesperson's job too, maybe.
Everybody fears that computers are going to take over the world or whatever, take their jobs. But you got to think about it. Like, if we never had innovation, me and you wouldn't be on this phone talking right now.
That's correct.
Me and you would have to be riding a horse or something, and I would have, you know, take a horse over to Weston, and we'll have to, you know, have a group of people listen to us, and then have some people write about our conversation.
Yeah.
And then publish it in a newspaper.
Yeah, I agree. Innovation's good, and to be honest, I was...
Technology's bad, you know?
Yeah, which I was thinking about that today. Like, WordPress has given me an income, pretty much.
Yeah. WordPress is awesome. WordPress has came a long way from where, when Wix came out, man, and you compare WordPress with Wix, Wix smoked WordPress. Nobody wants to use WordPress. WordPress was a blog, you know, it's a basic blog, couldn't do nothing with it, and it came such a long way. Everybody moved to WordPress. Everybody moved to WordPress. Nobody wanted to use Wix or these website builders after that. And Wix was really good. Wix was a flash website. But the problem with Wix, Wix didn't let you have your own code. WordPress, they give you the whole framework for free. So,
yeah,
WordPress is amazing, you know?
Which, FYI, if you haven't seen my video yet, Gutenberg is going to come out on WordPress this year. I was hearing this month, but it could happen any moment. WordPress doesn't really give you like a heads up. It's like, oh, here it is. But Gutenberg is going to really change the whole game a little bit for WordPress. So
more people are going to start using WordPress.
Yeah, and that could take away people from Wix to WordPress. But yeah, you're right. There's been other builders like Divi and Elementor, which I guess that's the idea that Gutenberg, you know, got from. And yeah, it's definitely going to change, you know, it's going to close the gap between the front and back end. And they're actually going to have three phases. Like the first phase is going to, you know, it's going to come out this year. And then once they reach the third phase, it should look like Divi or Elementor. Have you used Divi before?
I have never used Divi. I used Elementor. I haven't used Divi yet.
Yeah, and both those products, I think they cost like $100 a month or $100 for the year or something.
Elementor is $50 a year. You own the plugin. You don't have to renew it. It's just they stop supporting your plugin if you, you know, for example, don't renew. But, I mean, Elementor is nice. You know, it's built on a Bootstrap framework, which means it's responsive and you can add in columns and add in sections and add in videos, and it's great. It's not bad at all.
But you know something?
Maybe I don't know how that works.
With Wix and all these little builders, I still get calls from clients, oh, can you build this on Divi or build this on Gutenberg or build this on Wix? I still get calls. People, yeah, sure, it's easy, but some people just don't want to do it.
I mean, people are busy. Like, they want someone who's a pro to make them something so that way they don't waste time or money. You know, if they want a website and they want to convert their traffic into an action or a, you know, a client or a lead or whatever, they want it done. They want it hit the ground running, in other words. They want you, Santiago, because you have 10 years of experience with WordPress, to build them something that's, you know, not going to fail. And they feel more comfortable than you doing it. Sure, there's a lot of people that don't want to spend the extra money and do it themselves, but they don't want to go through the trial and error or whatever. They don't want to spend the time building it themselves. That's why developers have jobs right now.
That's right. You can't be scared of innovation. Yeah, there might be some robot taking care of cleaning, but there might be a job for that to help out the robot, you know?
Robots are ultimately going to make us more human. They're going to eliminate the automated jobs that, you know, whatever, manufacturing jobs or whatever, and they're going to only be left with jobs that require creativity, which a lot of people are creative. We are naturally born to be creative. We as humans have the one thing that no other animal on this planet has, and that's imagination, you know?
Yeah.
The ability to be creative, and it's going to make us more human.
We are very advanced. Well, this is ready for random questions.
Yeah, sure.
Can you survive in the woods for 1 month?
Yes, I can.
And what tool would you use to survive?
You're going to need a way to make fire. So I'll bring matches or a lighter, a pocket knife, and a water bottle, a plastic container.
That's good tools.
And a compass.
You got no iPhone. Just got a straight up compass. What animal best represents your personality? What animal best represents your personality?
That's a very good question. A cheetah.
Ooh, because you're fast?
No, it's just I have a lot of ambition, so usually the lion represents ambition.
True.
So I don't. I would think of another one. I think a lot too, so I would mix the two together. But
that's a good one.
On the spot question.
What behavior makes you think a person is creepy?
Just like standing and staring at you and what you're doing.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all in the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, just staring, you know, like, that's creepy because you don't know what that person's thinking about, and they're paying all their attention to you. Creepy.
What's something that cannot be bought or sold on the internet?
Your soul.
Ooh, that's a good one. One other guy said, love, which, you know, it's the same thing. Well, not the same thing, but it's similar.
I'm going to argue with that.
Well, yeah, because you go on a dating app.
Argue with that. Mail in order bride or whatever.
Oh, no, don't go there. Don't go there.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest thing that has ever happened to you in a car?
It's kind of X-rated, so I want
to
make
it. Okay. Anyways, you know, it's funny because I hear these Uber drivers, you know, like they all, like the worst thing they've seen is someone throwing up in their car, which is pretty disturbing.
That has happened to me in my car.
Yeah, that sucks.
Don't throw up in my car.
Yeah. Mike, when can people know about your app and how can people reach you and find out more or like see that update?
Just go right now. Go to www.semnerd.com, and you can pre-register. Once everything is done, I'm going to automatically send out an email blast with your email that you left with me, and I am going to tell you to sign out for free and start using the features I have available.
And what's that domain again? Well, how you spell it out?
semnerd.com. So SEMNERD.com.
Okay, yeah. Oh.
The SEM stands for search engine marketing. So, search engine marketing nerd, because I'm a nerd and I do search engine marketing. So, I glued those two names together and created
okay.
SEMNERD.com. I'm probably going to change the name, though, to something more basic.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, because you told me last night you kind of not finalized the name. So that's probably going to come soon, right?
Yeah, the names I wanted, they cost like $5,000 or more. So I don't know if I'm willing to spend that at this moment. But when I have more revenue, I will definitely buy a premium domain, and that will be the name of my my website.
Which Mike has confirmed, a domain URL is important for SEO, right?
It is. It is. It was definitely more important before, but it still is important because they bring it up in the search. So if you're, for example, a real estate agent and people are searching for homes and they have the words homes in this county or homes in Weston or whatever, if your domain has the word homes in it, guess whose website gets a little bit more help from Google? Yours or any others that have the word homes in it.
Yeah, man.
There is an exception, though. If your website is overwhelmingly if your website has an overwhelming amount of relevant backlinks like Zillow or SleonProductions.com, your website has a better chance of getting on the first page of Google.
Yeah. And Mike, if anyone has SEO questions, what's the best way to reach you?
I'm trying to think of, is there an app that people could just drop a message like Discord?
Boy. Do you have a Twitter? Twitter's the best.
Yeah. Go to Twitter and just drop a question at Semnerd. I believe I created that handle already.
Yeah.
Actually, I created SEO University. I'm actually creating SEO University too. So if you search SEO.university on Instagram, you can drop me a message there and I'll reply because I always have that on.
Michael Friedberg, thanks for coming on to the Miami Tech Update. If you guys have any questions, reach out to Mike on sem.university on Twitter or check out his website at semnerd.com. It's going to be really good. Mike has been working on this project for 2 years. We'll have a podcast dedicated to this app once it's released, and we'll go through the details and then hopefully help out your SEO needs. We all need SEO needs. You know, SEO, probably more than half of my clients ask for me for SEO purposes. And I'm more of a developer. I'm not an SEO expert. But SEO is, it's part of marketing. You need it. So, Mike, thanks for coming on. Any final words?
I'll be out soon, guys. You'll see about my app in about 2 weeks or in, I'll say, June 2018. You're going to see this app everywhere.
Mike, you can't say that lightly. June it is. People are going to expect that to be out by June.
I'm going to make it happen.
Okay.
I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, I'm an app developer myself, and these things, you know, typically are last minute, but, you know, you just never know when these things are released. Got to fix the kinks. I'm working on one that I'm trying to finish. But anyways, we'll talk later. Mike, thanks for coming on to the Miami Tech Update. I'll see you next time.
All right. Have a good one.